Chapter 15.
Charles! What is this?
The blonde aristocrat stood in the drive with the skirt of her ball gown clutched in her fist so it wouldn't drag across the ground. But her expression was what stopped me in my tracks. Josephine's orange wide eyes wavered in their sockets and swiveled between Valerie and me. Her cherry red lips parted, soft sounds whispered up her throat, but not a single comprehensible word slipped out.
Josephine,
I couldn't explain or come up with a single excuse. How could I? Ryan was obviously tugging on Valerie's very real tail. The feline woman's ears twitched, and her oceanic eyes narrowed on the aristocrat standing a few feet away. How hadn't we noticed her? Not only that, what was she doing out here of all times? It was her masquerade, and she should have been inside with her guests. I had no other choice at the moment. There was no way we could explain all of this away, and I certainly didn't want to hurt Josephine. If this were any other woman other than the heiress, I would have attacked her, knocked her out, and thrown her into the back of the wagon. But Josephine was our friend. She was the only aristocrat I'd met in my entire life that had sympathy for the brutes of our society. But it was more than that. Josephine believed that all of us, men and women, were equals. How could I, in good conscience, repeat the experiments with a woman who felt those things about my sex? I couldn't. Even when I forced myself to take a step forward, my hands hung limply at my sides, completely useless.
Charles! Don't!
In one swift movement, I was pulled backward, my feet lifted from the gravel, and I was thrown into the back of the wagon. Everything after that happened in a blur of quick movements. Valerie ripped her dress from the side of the wagon, gripped the side of the cart, flipped inside, turned, and then grabbed Ryan by the forearm. The ash blonde gritted her teeth and pulled the black-haired beauty into the bed with us.
What?
I grunted.
Daisy! Go!
The brunette ripped up the reins, lifted both of her hands into the air, and slapped them down hard against the backs of the horses. The wagon blasted forward with a crash. Daisy glanced over her shoulder at Josephine, who still stood in the road, but then turned toward the path ahead of us.
What are you doing? I shouted.
Escaping!
But that's not the best thing to do right now.
Do you have a better plan? We can't exactly snatch her from her own party. All of the other aristocrats will notice that she's missing. We have to escape now and figure out a plan later. What if she tells someone? We should have grabbed her. No, I ran through that course of action in my head. That wouldn't work. We'd be caught and jailed by morning.
Well, she won't tell anyone. It's Josephine. She likes us. Let's just go back and explain that this is all just a misunderstanding. Maybe something about a costume malfunction?
We can't do that, I uttered over the crash of the wagon. Daisy is right. We have to formulate a plan first. We can't act on impulse. We're in a very sticky situation right now.
We have to trust Josephine. We know her. We love her. Come on. She'd never turn her back on us.
You don't know that. We don't know that. We may know Josephine, but she's still an aristocrat, and she could be dangerous. She could expose us.
The whole world seemed to be tilting, shifting, and spinning around me, and no matter how much I tried to steady myself, it wouldn't stop. We'd been found out. It had finally happened. My greatest fear had finally come to light. But my only regret was that it had to be Josephine. Why couldn't it be someone else? Maybe then I could have done something about it without remorse or regret. But I knew. Something had to be done about her now that she knew. Josephine may have been our friend, but she was still an aristocrat. Not only that, but an aristocrat with the power to control our minds. There was no way we could go up against her without knowing what she would do. I kept my eyes glued to Josephine standing in the middle of the drive. The blonde heiress called out to us, knit her hands together, and then pressed them to the middle of her chest as she shouted out something else. She certainly didn't look dangerous. In fact, she looked like a lost child. But I knew we couldn't stop, not when she could still attack us.
What are we going to do? What's going to happen to us?
Charles, do you think that Josephine will tell the other aristocrats about what she just saw? She doesn't seem like that type of person, but...
We don't know.
I hate to say it, but we don't really know Josephine as well as we think we do. The patient we used for Valerie was called a harlot in her memories, but she spewed the same disgusting rhetoric at me before I pulled the switch. We can never know what she truly thinks. We have to formulate a plan first.
Let's just get home first. Then we can sit down and discuss our next course of action. A.B. might have some good insights as an outsider.
All of us fell silent. The wagon rolled forward through the forest and then down the hill toward the city. Valerie sat in the back of the wagon with her knees pressed to her chest, her head in her hands, and sobbed into her palms. I scooted closer, wrapped an arm around her shoulders, and pulled the feline woman to my chest. I knew that she was upset. She'd wanted to meet Josephine so badly, and things had turned out like this. We didn't know what the future held. We might have to kill Josephine if she posed a threat to our family. And I knew that hurt the Ashbaugh deeply.
It's all right. We'll figure something out.
Charles, we might have to kill her. My first human friend aside from my sisters. It's just not fair. I don't want Josephine to die. She's such a nice lady.
I know that, my love. We'll figure something out, I promise. Even if we have to turn Josephine into a monster girl, we'll do whatever we have to spare her life.
I can't make any promises yet, but I'll do whatever I can to make sure that Josephine stays happy and healthy.
I want Josephine as my sister, but I also like her how she is now, just as she is.
I know, my dear. I do, too. We'll do whatever we can. But if Josephine becomes a threat to our family, which she is at the very moment, we may have to take action.
I just don't want to do it. She's such a good person as she is now. I don't want to take that away from her. In some way, the women used in the experiments to create us were bad. They did awful things to men and other people. But Josephine doesn't deserve to die, even if it means we'll give her a brand new life.
You've changed your tune so suddenly. Just a few days ago, you were begging me to change her into a monster girl.
But that was before I met her in person. It was different when I was face to face with her and speaking directly to her. She was so kind and full of life. Knowing everything I read and heard, I know that she believes in the same things as us. I don't think I could go through with the transformation.
I believe we should do whatever Charles thinks is right. If he wants to turn Josephine into a monster girl, then I agree with him. It's not that we're ending Josephine's life. We're protecting ours while getting a new sister. Then she can mate with Charles and make him lots of babies.
Well, what do you think, Daisy? Do you think we should protect Josephine or turn her into a monster girl?
I don't want to say right now,
the brunette shouted over the wagon wheels.
There are so many factors going into this, and we don't know what could happen. Sure, there are benefits to both actions, but I'd like to go through them before we make a concrete decision. Despite all these things, as Ryan said, if Charles chooses to use Josephine in an experiment, I will agree with him. He is our love, and he makes these hard decisions for us.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I will work hard to reach a decision that benefits all of us, Josephine included.
Everything around us was pitch black, but with the help of her keen senses, Daisy kept us on the dirt path and ripped around the corners of the road like an expert driver. The only sounds surrounding us were the trundle of the wheels beneath us, the clop of the horse's hooves, and the soft whisper of wind through the woods. I held Valerie close to my side, covered her with her discarded dress, and pressed a tender kiss to the crown of her head. I would be the one to make the life-changing decision to either sacrifice Josephine or spare her. But it would all depend on what the aristocrat did next. I knew I had the strength and resolve within me to kill her like all of the others. But a part deep down inside of me didn't want to. Over time, the affection and admiration I had for Josephine had morphed and changed into something completely different. I wouldn't call it love. No, not yet. But I could imagine myself loving her. The heiress was so easy to care for, not that my monster women weren't, but there was something about Josephine that set her apart from all of the other aristocrats. Despite all these things, all the proof that she could very well turn against us with, I couldn't believe it deep in my heart. I wanted to believe that she wouldn't say anything, But right now, I just couldn't. We never knew how any of these aristocrats would react. We raced through the forest, down past the Duchess's castle, and onto the brick-lined streets of Edenhart. All of the homes and businesses' windows were dark by now, and no nobles wandered the road, but that was because all of them were still at Josephine's manor. I lifted my head, squinted my eyes, and finally spotted our home atop the hill in the distance. I sighed quietly to myself, held the still-crying feline woman to my side, and pressed my lips into a firm line. Once we arrived home, we'd sit down, discuss our options, and then I'd have to make a decision. As I sat in the back of the wagon, I had no idea what I was going to do, and needed to hear the pros and cons of each woman's argument. I already knew that I didn't want to transform Josephine, but I couldn't put a finger on the reason why. Was it because the idea of the blonde heiress not being in this world hurt me in a strange, tender way? It was more than that, though. If Josephine were to disappear completely, the other aristocrats would surely notice and look for her. It'd be just like with Delphine and Hortensia. They wouldn't stop searching until they found her, even if it meant they discovered her dead in her rooms or off in the forest. If I were to transform her, I had to come up with a pretty elaborate excuse for her disappearance, and leaving her corpse somewhere would only arouse more suspicion. One death, a suicide, and a murder all within the same year seemed too much for the small city of Edenhart, where the most that ever happened was petty crime. When our wagon rolled from the brick pavers onto the packed dirt of our drive, I leaned my head back and spotted the single lit candle we'd left in the front window. I wasn't sure what time it was, but from the small wavering light, I knew that the candle had almost burned out. Had I only spoken to the Duchess for an hour? Or was it longer? I wasn't sure. It seemed as if time had passed so slowly, but it could have been longer, and I hadn't noticed. Daisy pulled back the reins, shouted to the horses in a low, deep voice, hopped from the driver's seat, and then tied them off to the carriage house. The brunette turned to me, but then she wasn't smiling. Her expression was serious and solemn as she stepped toward the front of the manor. I knew that this decision pained Daisy, too. She was the face of our whole operation. She was the one who directly interacted with the aristocrats and had gotten to be the closest with Josephine. All right, let's get you inside and dressed, Val. How about we all change into our regular clothes before we discuss anything? Does that sound good to the two of you?
Yes, Charles. I'm anxious to discuss these things, but this dress is very uncomfortable compared to my normal outfit.
I could have worn my dress all night and day. I don't care that it's uncomfortable. It's the price of being pretty.
I helped all of my women out of the wagon and then grabbed the metal box from the back. I'd have to build a tank for it later, but now wasn't the time. I hurried down into the laboratory and rested the metal box with the Nix inside on the floor. A.B. didn't make a sound from his tank, so I assumed that the brain was resting or sleeping. I stared down at the metal box for a second and listened to the soft whispering that snuck through the cracks of the lid. I wasn't sure how long we'd have to keep the Nix in there before our next experiment, but I'd have to build a tank despite all those things. "There's nothing I can do about it right now," I sighed. "Have to worry about it later." I glanced around the darkened laboratory one last time and opened my mouth to call out to A.B., but decided against it. I was sure that the brain wouldn't be much help right now and would tell me all of the same things that my women were about to. I slammed the laboratory door closed behind me and hurried up the stairs toward the manor. Once inside, I closed the front door with a light click and leaned toward the banister. "Daisy?" I called.
"I'm up here,"
the brunette shouted from upstairs.
"I'm changing into a different dress. That other one was quite restrictive and I couldn't move around very much."
"We're done here, too,"
the feline woman whispered and stepped out of the hall with a cookie in her hand.
"We wanted a snack,"
the imp woman chuckled. "That's fine. Let's go upstairs and get changed."
"Okay, Charles."
Valerie nodded, hurried up the stairs, and disappeared from view. Ryan and I climbed the stairs together, slipped into the master bedroom, and found my other two monster women already in different stages of undress. Daisy bent at the waist, kicked off her heels, sighed out of relief, came to stand in front of the mirror, and slowly unzipped the back of her dress. Valerie stood by the dresser, opened one of the drawers, grabbed her leotard, and hastily slipped into it. I couldn't wait any longer, and from the expressions on my women's faces, I knew that they wanted to speak about it now instead of later. "Let's discuss Josephine here," I muttered, slipped out of my suit jacket and began unbuttoning my shirt. "I have an idea of what we should do." Valerie turned, half undressed, and held her jumpsuit to her chest. Her blue eyes were wide and wavering in their sockets, but her lips were pressed firmly together in a thin line of worry.
"I think we should try to save her at all costs. I may not have interacted with Josephine much, but I feel as if I know her better than anyone else. I read her diary. I saw her innermost thoughts, and I read all of those books she kept hidden away. I know what she thinks, wants, and hopes for in the future. I read all of it. I think we should tell her about us. The monster women, the experiment, the Duchess's plot, and how we were created."
"And what happens when that goes south? I don't mean to hurt you, Valerie, but what a person writes in their journal may be totally different than how they will react in a situation."
"I want to believe that Josephine will support us. I know deep in my heart that she wouldn't betray us."
"What do you think, Ryan?" I grunted. The red-skinned imp woman paused for a moment, opened her plump lips, closed them, and then sighed softly under her breath. The black-haired beauty shook her head, widened her stance, and then rested her closed fists on her hips.
"I don't know Josephine well enough to speak on this subject, but after meeting her, I do believe that she is our ally. She is kind to us, and she speaks openly about her admiration of you, Charles. Personally, I think we should try Valerie's approach. We seek Miss Josephine out, sit her down, and explain our situation to her. We can't snatch her off the street, lay everything out for her, and then expect her to understand where we're coming from. I believe if we did something like that, it would either frighten her into hysterics or push her away from our family. I think our best course of action is to do it calmly and rationally. We all have met and know Josephine. She is not one who would turn her back on us so easily. But if we did it rashly, then she would have no other choice."
"What about you, Charles? What do you think we should do? Of course, all of us have our opinions, but we will follow what you think is best."
"I have to agree with Ryan and Valerie. All of us know Josephine to different, varying degrees, but I've spoken to her about this subject before. Not this exact situation. But I know how she feels about the treatment of brutes in our society. She doesn't agree with it. She wholly believes that women and men should be equals in our society. But this is different, and we all know that. You may love me, but all of you were also born from my machine. I doubt that Josephine would be able to understand that."
"Yeah, I don't think we took that into account."
"Yes, our world is strange," I nodded. "Women developed powers, and mythical creatures started popping up all around the country without any explanation. But the creation of half-beast, half-human girls, I don't think anyone, except for me, would be able to understand."
"Then what do you think we should do? We can't leave things as they are now. Josephine must be so confused right now. And we have no idea what we will do."
"Eventually, I think we should seek her out. Sometime in the future, after all of this has died down. Maybe even in a few days."
"What if she comes to us? What will we do then?"
"Our best course of action is to lie right now. Tell her it was part of the costume, some sort of adhesive that I used to adhere the mechanics to Valerie's body."
"But what if she doesn't accept that? What if she doesn't believe that?"
"We keep telling her that it's part of the costume. We will tell her. But I think right now isn't the best time for her to learn about everything I've been doing. I'll even create a mechanical tail and ears, so if she shows up and asks questions, I can bring them out and show her. Right now, it just isn't the best time to tell her. We can never know how she's going to react."
"I agree with Charles, especially if lying to Josephine prevents us from having to transform her. I think that's what we should do."
"I don't like the idea of lying to Miss Josephine. But if it's how we keep her and us safe, then it's the right thing to do."
"I agree. What Miss Josephine doesn't know won't hurt her. We'll tell her eventually. But right now, we're protecting her by keeping secrets from her."
If she pushes it, then we lie about the costumes. If she pries for more information, even after all of that, then we have no other choice than to tell her.
And then what?
If she accepts us, great. I smiled, but then my expression hardened as I spoke again. If she doesn't, we all know what happens next. We do as we have before. Knock her unconscious, take her down into the laboratory, place her within the machine, and transform her into a monster girl.
But that's our last resort. I want to do everything we can to prevent that. As much as I want another sister, Josephine is such a kind and sweet person as she is, and I don't want to take all that away from her.
Then it's decided. We lie to Josephine until it's time for us to tell her the truth. If she pushes it, we have no other choice than to tell her and see what her reaction is.
So, except for the things that just happened, did everyone enjoy the party for the most part?
It was so much fun! All of the food tasted so good, and the alcohol that Josephine served us was very strong. Stronger than anything you had in your wine cellar, Charles. Then all of that stuff happened with Kalara, which was pretty funny if you ask me.
We danced a little bit, too. All of the aristocrats performed this strange dance. They moved in a long line, changed partners, did complicated hand signals, changed partners again, and then waltzed down the floor. I thought it would be difficult to learn, but Miss Josephine appeared out of the crowd and explained that what they were doing was called contradancing. It's an ancient style of dance that's been passed down through the generations.
She taught us how to do it. She showed us the movements of our feet, hands, and that every few movements you turn, switch partners, and then sashay down the floor with that new person.
I was worried that I'd forget the movements and embarrass myself in front of all the other women, but Josephine told me that making mistakes is part of the fun. You don't have to know the dance exactly as long as you're having a good time doing it. I danced with Josephine first. And then, when we switched partners, Ryan was my partner.
I danced with Ryan first.
The gorgeous brunette chuckled, buttoned the back of her dress, and smoothed out her skirt.
And then danced with Josephine. We did it 3 or 4 times until Valerie's feet got tired. She kept adding dance moves to the movements, and the other aristocrats kept staring.
They're just a bunch of old crones. They don't know how to dance. They look so dang stiff moving around the floor. I wish you could have seen it, Charles.
I would have liked to dance with Charles. A few of the women that brought their consorts danced with them. It was nice to see. If you forgot for a moment that those men were contractually obligated to be there, it was almost romantic.
It would have been romantic if it was Charles and us. We would have shown them what dancing is really about, rubbing up against each other and having a good time with your male partner.
I have to agree with my sisters. It would have been very nice to dance with you, Charles. We know you were taking care of other very important things, but maybe sometime you could dance with us?
I believe I have a newer wax phonograph player in the basement, I grinned. I never used it much, but it might be down there somewhere. If I don't, I could always build one for us. Some of the stores in the city still sell them, even though they're not as popular with most of the aristocrats, since they can just hire musicians to come to their homes. We could make a night of it, cook a nice dinner, enjoy dessert, and then dance the night away in the drawing room.
Well, not that lively type of dancing. Well, I like it, jumping around, twirling and lifting, but the slow dancing.
Slow dancing? What is that? Did they do that at the party?
It wasn't at the party. I read about it in one of Josephine's books.
I thought I told you to put those back where they belonged. Did you take one, even though I asked you not to?
No.
The ash blonde shook her head.
I just read all of the ones in Josephine's trunk while we were there. You told me to put it back, and I did, I swear. But I read all of the other ones she had stashed away. They're so good, and they make me feel all warm and happy inside. There was a scene in one of those books where the main male character and the main female character finally were alone away from their overbearing families. They snuck into a small vineyard and slow danced under the stars. Then, of course, they made love in the lush green grass. And it was just so romantic. I'd love to have a moment like that someday. But it's all right. I love all the moments I have with you, Charles.
I do too, my love. I treasure every second I'm blessed with you.
You sure do know how to pour on the charm. You're getting me all hot and bothered and ready for breeding when you talk like that, Charles.
Like what? I'm simply speaking the truth. I love each of you so much. And I'd do anything for you. I'd tear down the stars with my bare hands if you asked for them.
We're so lucky to have you. How did we get so lucky? I'm so blessed to be with a man like you. The other aristocrats don't know what they're missing out on. Sometimes I feel sorry for them. They don't know what it feels like to be loved by a man, to be truly loved, body and soul, and I think that's why they're so awful to everyone.
Then what about that Kalara woman? She seemed perfectly happy servicing the female aristocrats. In fact, she made it very clear that she didn't like men, not even their parts in general. I wonder if it's all an act, or if she truly feels that way about her attraction to women.
I don't really care to know. Such a disgusting notion to think about.
I wouldn't be as weirded out if the men in this society were allowed to do whatever they want. I don't care if she likes women. But to take on the job of a brute, to spite the brutes in question? It just seems disgusting. Not only that, but she has to know the main reason that the aristocrats keep consorts is to have children, right? A woman and another woman can't have children. Everyone knows that.
I think it's more about the sexual pleasure, Val. It's not about producing children or anything like that. She said that a woman knows her body better than anyone else, so another woman would be better suited to service it. It doesn't really make sense to me, either. But if that's the occupation she wants to have, then more power to her.
It just makes me wonder. Why is she doing it, though? She's a woman. She has abilities that men don't possess. Why has she stooped so low to such a position? Is it something she thoroughly enjoys? Or is it a power grab? Is she clinging to these powerful aristocrats to better her station? But even then, as I said before, she's a woman. She would have all of that without becoming a consort.
I don't know, but I'm sure after tonight, this won't be the last that we see of Kalara.
We all saw how she clung on to Josephine, and how desperately she wanted to meet the Duchess, even though we all know that Edeny would have dismissed her the moment they were introduced.
Oh, I grunted under my breath as the memory from earlier resurfaced in my brain. There's something else I forgot to tell you about.
More? What else did the Duchess tell you? More of her awful plans? Something even worse?
No, it had nothing to do with her plans. It was something entirely different and completely unexpected.
So? What was it?
Edeny confessed, I uttered. She told me that she's been secretly in love with me this entire time. Silence filled the room. My eyes rested against the floor, and I slowly raised them. All three of my monster women were frozen in place. Their hands wavered in the air as they stared at me. Their eyes were wide open, and Valerie's mouth hung open in utter shock.
Excuse me?
Can you repeat that one more time?
She what?
All of you heard me right. Edeny confessed her love for me under the influence of the truth serum.
You can't be serious. There's no way that can be true. I've seen the way she treats and speaks to you, Charles. Well, tell me this is a joke. It has to be a joke.
It's not. There's no way she could have lied.
How is this possible, Charles? How can she fall in love with you despite the way she feels about men?
I don't know. I shook my head. That's all she said. She confessed to me, and I was in absolute shock.
What did you say to her after? Did you say anything back? Do you think she'll remember?
I doubt she'll remember. With a big enough dose, the truth serum won't leave any memories. If they do, it'll be like the faded image of a dream. I told her I didn't care. She tried to ruin my life. She tried to take our home. And after all that, she was moments away from killing me. How could I ever love a woman like that? How could I bring myself to even look at her with even a smidgen of that emotion? I told her I hated her with every fiber of my being, and I wished that she would drop dead. I even told her that I'd kill her. Not that she'll recall it, but I meant it. I will kill her. It might not be today or tomorrow or even in the near future, but I will be the one to end her life.
I'm sure she was happy about that. What did she say?
The usual, that she would kill me, that her love would be the one to kill me. She said something like, if she couldn't be the one to love me, she would be the one to kill me. We won't let that happen. Edeny will never lay a hand on me or any of you.
Right. She won't dare come near us. And if she does, she's going straight into Compartment B. And then zap! New sister!
I opened my mouth to speak, but a distant sound caught my attention. My hands curled into fists at my sides. I stepped to the window, gazed down toward the drive, and then growled deep under my breath.
Charles, what is it? Did you hear something?
I heard it too. It sounded like the alarm bell to the gate.
Down in the basement? Are you sure?
Yes. Someone's here. Their carriage is coming up the drive right now.
What should we do, Charles?
Well, we see who it is first. And if it's the aristocrats come to take me away, we fight for our lives. Below me, a dark carriage rolled to a stop in front of the stairs. The door slammed open, and a hooded figure scurried out. I couldn't see who it was or tell from the carriage, but whoever they were in for a rude awakening. My women and I weren't going down without a fight, and we were prepared for anything. A loud knock came from downstairs at the front door. I turned, headed for the bedroom door, and then glanced over my shoulder. Let's go greet our unexpected guest. I'm sure they're eagerly waiting for us.